The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings. Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the greatest show about paranormal stuff.
You're not fooling anybody.
You think I need a better tagline if I'm going to convince the masses?
I mean, I admire the optimism inherent in that tagline.
Yeah, I mean stuff, you know.
Yeah, I mean, dress for the job you want, not the job you have, right?
Yeah, it's funny. My daughter got this thing from her mom, and they both do it all the time, and I think it's really funny. They, like, talk about things, and they're just like, yeah, and we were down there, and we were doing this and stuff, and then we were over there, and we were doing that and stuff. And they always put in stuff at the end, and I'm just like, what does this in stuff entail?
They watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and now they can't stop doing that.
Maybe.
Happened to me, too.
That was definitely the case with Harley. Yeah, with my daughter, that was definitely the case, but...
Oh, you're Chauncey and I'm Sean, right?
Yeah. Okay, I am your host of Radio Wasteland, Chauncey Hallworth. And this is my other host of hosts, Sean.
Hello.
You had a good week? 2 weeks.
Yeah, I did. I just want to check something with you.
All right.
The news is crazy, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not just... Because I feel like the news has kind of always been crazy, and like the more you listen to the news, which I feel I'm listening to it more now, the crazier you're going to think it is. But no, it's genuinely bananas right now by any standard, yes?
Yeah, but it's all fake, isn't it?
Well, I guess so. That must be why.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, the fake news might be the spin that people put on it, but these situations are really happening, you know. And I agree that it's crazy on a world level, you know, what's going on with Syria and their ties to Russia and us already pushing back at Russia. And
that's
then
right.
Now we're potentially, basically, if Trump doesn't want to look like a wuss, he's going to have to order a larger missile strike than he initially did, which the initial missile strike was just kind of like a, hey, here it comes, and we're going to destroy a plane. But they're going to actually have to take out some of their military, and Russia's saying don't do that or we're going to get pissed. And, you know, last 2 weeks ago when we were talking about this, I already kind of felt like Russia was, like, poking us with a stick. Russia and China are purposefully poking us with a stick, wanting to get, at least if nothing else, into some sort of Afghanistan situation. And for those of you listening, I'm not talking about post 9/11 Afghanistan situation. I'm talking about, like, Rocky III, not Rocky III, Rambo III Afghanistan
situation. Yeah, not
situation.
Rocky III.
Yeah. So... People probably don't know this, but Rambo 3 was about, it was dedicated to the brave soldiers of Afghanistan because Rambo went over there and he helped them out. Mm. And because we had this sort of little proxy war going on there against Russia.
Right.
Yeah. And I got to throw this in. First movie was called First Blood.
Okay.
Second movie was called...
Second Blood, obviously.
No.
Okay, go on.
Rambo, First Blood Part 2.
That's not better.
Third movie called Rambo 3.
Okay. First Blood
Part 3. No. We're looking at First Blood, Rambo, First Blood Parts 2, and then Rambo 3.
Yeah,
dedicated to the brave soldiers of Afghanistan.
I don't know. I'm thinking a post-it note fell off of some producer's desktop there.
Yeah, yeah. And for anybody getting up in arms, this is not me in support or anything of Afghanistan. I'm not saying anything. Literally, the last line of the movie before the credits roll, it says, dedicated to the brave soldiers of Afghanistan.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think being, you know, in favor of the soldiers who fought in Afghanistan is, like, controversial.
It's not?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't really. I mean, so many things happen. It's like,
I mean, I think you can not like the war, but I think, like, everyone, yeah, we're all pretty much good on you. You know, we like the soldiers.
Right. So I go to a counselor once a week in order to work on my workaholism, but instead sure. I use him as a life coach. And so last right. time we just talked about exercising the whole time and nutrition. And how could you track all the food that you're supposed to eat in order to be healthy without literally having it a full-time job, hardcore hobby? And it's really kind of the case with tracking this news and, like, the history of, you know, I mean, look at the history of the Middle East. That's kind of where we're touching
yeah.
down right now. It's like every 10 years, you know, we're looking at different altercations, different stuff going on in the background and stuff. And, you know, I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you don't have enough knowledge that you could literally teach a college-level class on the Middle East, you probably don't have enough knowledge to understand what's going on there. And yet it's also like every informed citizen should understand this.
Right,
like,
right.
Dude,
yeah, we
there
should.
Are not enough hours in the day to understand this and trade policy and climate change and, you know, our presidency and this and that and all the other things.
Right,
you know,
right. Yeah, most,
just
of,
not enough
most
time.
Of us have day jobs, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no time for that. So before we come up on the commercial, I did have a few things happen to me that I got to tell you.
Yeah.
For Easter, I went and visited my stepson. He's going to college in Monterey. We went to Santa Cruz.
Cool.
And I got my picture taken in front of the carousel from the Lost Boys.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that's pretty Excellent. Exciting. And then last weekend was my wedding anniversary.
Okay.
So I have been married 14 years.
Interesting. That's impressive.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I joke with her and tell her that she's easily my longest relationship at this point.
How flattering.
Yeah. But yeah, 14 years. So thanks for all the clapping there, Sean. You know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I just don't, I don't have enough life experience to understand.
I forgot your generation doesn't care
do
about marriage.
Yeah, no,
you got
no,
married. What yeah. a fool. What a fool.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, the viewers can't see this. Well, the remote viewers can, but I'm just sitting here with, like, a look of just smug superiority on my face.
Totally, yeah, totally. But if you're married, Chance, how are you going to date a robot in the future? You know, how is that going to work for you?
Yeah.
All right.
Asking
so,
the real questions right here on Radio right, Wasteland. Right. Okay, what were you going to say?
So tonight's guest is a topic we have not dealt with prior.
No?
We have remote viewing. And yeah. we have Marty Rosenblatt, and I'm pretty excited about this topic because I've always had a lot of questions about it.
Yeah, me too. This is one of the big ones, really. You know, at one point, actually, I think at more than one point, the military did research of its own into the potential applications of remote viewing.
Yeah, like, Men Who Stare at Goats.
Yeah,
isn't
exactly.
that movie supposedly a true story to some degree?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely is. Project Stargate, literally what it was called. I think it was around for like 10 years.
That sounds fabulous.
Psychic spies.
Project
yeah,
Stargate sounds fabulous.
Okay.
It's just funny. They're just all, we should call it Project Stargate. Nobody in the room spoke up and said, oh, that's already a movie.
Well, it was the 80s. I don't know if it was a movie yet or what.
That's true.
In any case, this is one of the big ones in terms of topics, and I, too, am really excited that we're finally getting around
too.
To it.
I am, too. All right, so when we come back, we have Marty Rosenblatt here on Radio Wasteland.
I want to know. of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob, could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 31 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
This is Sheila from the Reading Safari Club. Our banquet is April the 28th at Wind River Casino at 5 o'clock. Come out and support your right to hunt. And our youth in hunting, our scholarships, and our veteran hunts. Call Scott at 221-4650, Larry at 474-5075. Get flyers at Old West or KCNR. Games, guns, and fun for everyone.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The View, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Connor Sutton. Join me Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for my all-new sports show where I discuss local, regional, and even national stories, as well as bring on guests with incredible sports knowledge. So join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, the only local sports show in Reading.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Marty Rosenblatt. You know, we got you there with us, Marty?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi. So normally at the beginning I ask people how they get involved with something, but I think remote viewing might be a topic that some of our listeners, especially the local ones, may not know what that is. So can we start out by having you give us a little crash course in what remote viewing is?
Accepted techniques that the society would accept. It turns out that all of us have the ability, using what is normally called things like intuition, where we can know that a person is going to call before it happens, for example. The military found out that the Soviets were like spying on us using mental techniques. So we started doing the same. This was back during the Cold Wars in the 1970s. And remote viewing, rather than saying the word psychic, remote viewing is really a scientific way of putting together a protocol so that you indeed could use your mind and get information while you're sitting in your office about the Soviet Union, say. And distance includes not only space, but time. So remote viewers will sit quietly. They will be given a totally blind, what's often called a coordinate. So there's a tasker who will want to know information about, say, what is in a building that's being guarded by military in the Soviet Union. This was actually done. They couldn't get any information about that. They asked their remote viewer. The remote viewer, just using his mind, went inside that building and ended off describing, in this example that I want to share with you, a Soviet submarine that was bigger than any submarine built before, much, much bigger. And the CIA and DIA, the funders of this, didn't even believe what the remote viewer said, but indeed, when he said it, within a few days, they dug a trench to a nearby sea and they launched this Soviet submarine. So that's the kind of example that you can do with remote viewing.
Right. So my understanding of remote viewing has always been like a way to read. I kind of viewed it as like a way to read the ripples of life or tapping into chaos math, you know, the whole premise of the butterfly flapping its wings in South America, and you got blue skies somewhere else, you know, this sort of the ability to read the ripples of life. So not necessarily paranormal, but I don't know. Am I heading in the right direction here?
Let me give you my interpretation after working this in so long, for so long, including, and this is kind of an important part of it, precognitive remote viewing. Where people can pick up from the ripples, if you will, of time, as you said, things from the future. But this is in what you might call, and I'm sure you've heard of, the Akashic Record. I actually call it the universe of collective consciousness. Everything that consciousness touches, any place on our planet, any place in the universe, past, present, and future, seems to be, you know, stored is sort of a funny word, because you think of it like, you know, stored someplace, but it seems to be around, almost outside of space and time, because indeed you can get information from any place and any time. Now, it's not 100% accurate. We as scientists, I'm a scientist, don't understand it. And yet there have been experiment after experiment after experiment that show indeed this is true. You know, some people are very talented at it. Everybody can learn it to a certain extent. But there seems to be, you know, the expression, all there is. Even in the Bible, the reading of your life, the fact that your life record, the book of life, is supposedly like out there. It's hard to sort of take in, but that seems to be the way our universe works. There's information in this universe of collective consciousness. It's got different names in different societies. But when you get really, really deep, and the people who've really thought hard about this all seem to come to a conclusion which you might state as consciousness itself is fundamental, more fundamental than the physical world, that in some way the information stored in this universe of collective consciousness, this UCC, out of there that the physical world arises. And
well, let me put you on hold there. We're coming up on our first commercial break here. You're listening to Marty Rosenblatt here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you could use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, and in 2000 I opened the House of Conscious Living Yoga. We offer a variety of styles attending to the needs of all students. Our faculty consists of yoga therapists and health professionals. Conscious Living Yoga meets each student right where they are, and safety is always a priority. We offer weekly classes, class series, and workshops in addition to private sessions. Visit ConsciousLivingYoga.com for the online schedule, costs, and other interesting information.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Hey, high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Did you know that you can take classes at Shasta College this summer without paying any tuition? Get a jump start in your college education, tackle that tough class, or get ready for transfer, all for just a registration fee of about $40. Save time and money. That's how Shasta College gives you more. Shasta College has more classes so you can graduate faster, more programs so you can choose your perfect career, more flexibility to work around your busy life, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Summer enrollment is happening now, and high school students and newly graduated seniors can attend Shasta College free during the summer. Just pay the $40 enrollment fee. We made it easier than ever to register. Go to shastacollege.edu/apply or call 242-7650. High-paying jobs are waiting for trained workers today, and Shasta College is here to help you advance your future. Choose more. Choose Shasta College. Enroll today at shastacollege.edu/apply.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
In 2015, California passed a law that required pro-life pregnancy clinics to advertise abortions or be financially ruined by huge fines for refusing to do so. Well, Pacific Justice Institute fought back on behalf of pro-life clinics and sued.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
KCNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460 with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Marty Rosenblatt. Marty, so I'm going to come to my first question here now that I normally ask people now that we have a better understanding of what remote viewing is. Just to close up actually what we were saying before, do you feel that remote viewing is paranormal or scientific or maybe a mix of the two?
Well, it's considered paranormal by our current society because there's no real explanation for it, but I frankly consider it quite normal. And it has been investigated scientifically and proven at the same level that aspirin is supposedly good for you, you know, if you have heart issues. They've done lots and lots of tests, and it's statistically shown that, yes, statistically it works. remote viewing and precognitive remote viewing, getting information from the future, is the same way. It has been scientifically proven. So I just don't like the word paranormal. It bothers me as a scientist because we've used all the scientific methodology, and yet most scientists won't accept it because there's no good model for it.
I like the term fringe science.
Well, that's right. But you see, what's so different about remote viewing is it's so practical. You know, a lot of things that fringe science and people are into, like Bigfoot, okay? I have to see that on your webpage.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's fine, and people are interested in it, and some people have seen it, and that's fine. But at least from my perspective, if I find there's a Bigfoot out there, it's not a big deal from the standpoint of society.
Sure.
Think about remote viewing, being able to get information from a distance in space and time. You might get to a place where there could be no more secrets. Can you imagine a world with no more secrets?
I see. The sociological implications of it are really what...
Are mind-blowing.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a major paradigm shift. And I actually believe we are at the very... It's hard to say the beginning because a lot of this stuff goes back, you know, millennia. But I think we are at the beginning of integrating the intuitive, the paranormal stuff that's real, and there's a lot of it which is real, with our scientific knowledge, and imagine a world where both of those were going on, and indeed there might not be any secrets unless you could, in your own consciousness, figure out a way to block it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how it's going to go, but what I do know is that remote viewing, sometimes called clairvoyance and psychic vision and all that kind of stuff, including precognition, telepathy, all of those are real capabilities of human consciousness.
That's funny. Remote, that's going to undo the saying of three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead. Now, even if all three are dead, that secret is not necessarily a secret any longer.
Well, okay, let's talk a little bit about mediums and the dead and the soul, because I happen to believe that what we're touching when we do things like remote viewing, precognitive remote viewing, even remote viewing at the distance, it's not the scientific ego thinking self that's doing that. That part, if anything, inhibits it because it knows, you know, in the normal way we've been raised, almost all of us, not all of us, but almost all of us, you'd think that's impossible. It is a deeper, non-physical part of you, your, guess what, your soul, that has these capabilities.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're explaining is like fourth dimensional consciousness, which I really first learned of the concept in a book called Childhood's End by Arthur Clarke. And it was this fourth dimensional consciousness, the idea that anything that any human has ever known or ever will know, we're capable of tapping into.
Oh, that's beautiful. You said that's beautiful. In fact, that is the universe of collective consciousness. Didn't he just define it? Except he seemed to limit it to Earth. Why limit it to Earth?
Well, there were aliens coming.
The VTs are out there, and we know they're someplace. You know, the only thing we ever argue about is how close. Is they have consciousness. Their thoughts are in this universe of collective consciousness. And as I'm sure you know, some people claim to be in contact with ETs. The problem there is it's hard to get what in the remote viewing world we call feedback. You know, the remote viewer that did that, and his name's Joe McMonagle, one of the best remote viewers in the world, did the submarine, the Soviet submarine remote viewing. He got feedback when the submarine, you know, was launched. And in the work we do, we always make sure people get feedback from their remote viewing sessions so that they indeed can learn from the feedback. That's how you learn.
Yeah. Because without an answer coming back at you, how are you going to know if you were accurate or doing it correctly?
Might not it be possible, though, to, say, remote view some piece of alien technology and then attempt to replicate it on Earth, perhaps?
I hope that some people are doing that, frankly. I wouldn't
make sense,
quite
yeah.
do it that way. The way we've discussed it, at least when I was involved in this community, is let's look at what is a very important functioning technology here. I don't care how it got here, but let's look at it that is going to be here, say, 10 years in the future, 50 years in the future. If you go out 100 years in the future, we probably won't even know how to describe it because technology is changing so quickly. Can you imagine 100 years ago trying to explain the Internet or a cell phone, you know, to somebody from 100 years ago? You couldn't even explain it to them.
Right.
But maybe 10 years, and I do, in fact, believe that the future is always interacting with the present, just like the past is. You know, we have no problem recognizing the past interacts with the future, with the present, but the future interacts with the present as well. So asking that kind of question, I think, could be very valuable. And so, yes, I think that you could get information from this universe of collective consciousness by asking those kind of questions.
Interesting.
Now, if you want to ask it from an ET, you know, that...
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you. I know I've been drilling you about remote viewing specifically, but it is one of my favorite topics, and you're my first guest to cover it. But our main focus of our topic that we're supposed to be covering is, what do remote viewing, telepathy, and ETs have in common? And when I read that, I'm just all like, I want to know. All right, I do want to know.
And the bottom line is they all come from and are still intimately connected with this universe of collective consciousness. Telepathy, you know, I've given you examples of remote viewing. The remote viewers basically using their subconscious mind go down into this UCC, this Akashic record, this... whatever you want to call it, it's got different names. They go down in there with their intention. They're able to connect to any part of all that is because the universe of collective conscious contains everything. So remote viewers can do that telepathically. Notice very often it happens spontaneously when there's something really significant that goes on that connects two people. There, these emotional connections are down in this UCC as well. And so that explains telepathy. Now, what about ETs? Well, look, I see the best evidence for ETs being all the UFO reports. I go back to the Blue Book days, and I remember concluding there are too many reports for them all to be false. There's something going on. We now seem to be in a period of disclosure. But we have to be careful about what's, at least now, being disclosed. What's being disclosed is that human consciousness, through visual reports, photographic reports, radar reports, are seeing evidence of what look like objects in our sky. But they're not regular objects. You can't do a right turn without, you know, at supersonic speeds without sending out shockwaves. So the ETs that are somehow doing this are so far behind, so far ahead of us. We're so far behind them in terms of understanding how the physical world works. Now, it's my thesis that if they can have our consciousness, so they can obviously communicate with us, because somehow they're in the physical world at the level that they're making themselves obvious to us, but not hurting us in any way. I think the ETs have gone so far ahead into the consciousness, they're through this consciousness paradigm shift, and they're friendly. I mean, the fact that they're here, if they weren't friendly and they wanted to do something terrible to us, they could have. My thesis is they're friendly, and they're also smart enough to know that the best way for us to grow, to evolve to this new consciousness paradigm, is to maybe give us hints that there is a lot more out there, but we're going to have to figure it out for ourselves.
Yeah, this definitely popped up two thoughts in my head, and one is that if control of tapping into that consciousness is so much a part of our future and our evolution, maybe the reason why only some people are seeing these things is because they're blocking it, and only the people who are naturally somewhat gifted are seeing it. And then the other thing that it made me think was, with all the remote viewing that I've seen or listened to or read about over the years, you know, only a bit of it has to do with aliens, and that makes me wonder, is it easier for us to tap into consciousness that we identify with, and maybe we're less apt to tap into the alien consciousness because their consciousness is so alien to us?
You know, I just don't know how to answer that. You know, and we just don't understand where the ETs are coming from. You know, my sense is, you know, they've mastered. We are now talking about using concepts of general relativity and quantum mechanics. And I think we actually have theories down now that allow time travel and physical spaceships to go, you know, at least at the speed of light or almost at the speed of light, so we can go different distances. But I think they've even mastered more than that. I think they've mastered, like, time jumping.
Mm.
You know, science fiction has talked about this stuff for really a long time. And again, with this concept that goes way, way back, that if you can imagine it, you can make it happen. Well, you know, that might be true over the longer term. And so having done that, how are they going to, and if they want, just like we do, we want to explore, so they probably want to explore and find life on other planets, the Star Trek kind of idea. But notice another potential way of doing it is to just to give hints. And we've done that in the physical world, but I also think I could see where they might want to probe human consciousness to learn about us. You know, they can see physical stuff, but they'd probably want to get into our minds as well. And so, and it might go both ways when they do that.
Also,
I don't think I answered your question, but
that's all right. Also, if we're in this, which hopefully we are in some form of disclosure. Disclosure implies that our government maybe knows and is already in some level of communication with them, and maybe they are being polite and following the orders of our leaders.
Well, I don't know if they would follow the orders of our leaders. You know, they're the ones who are so
advanced. Maybe some of them, you know, the good orders.
Yeah, well, maybe, but here's as much as I'm willing to say about disclosure that I believe. The government has, in fact, I hate to use the word lying, but it's so strong, but I could see where they would come to the conclusion.
Willfully withheld.
Okay. Because they would come to the conclusion that there's something out there that could literally fly circles about our most advanced aircraft, that is a potential danger. What if they decided to do something bad? And so we don't, and maybe it would scare the population. You could see that point of view might take hold.
Absolutely. Marty, I'm sorry. Let me cut you off here. We're coming up on another commercial break. You're listening to Marty Rosenblatt here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
As a grand boy have I arrived. Tell the dinosaurs they just won't survive. So I fell, and you just laughed.
The Red Bluff Roundup is on. April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Get your tickets now. $250,000 is up for grabs for 600 of the toughest cowboys and cowgirls. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab up the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is family night, brought to you by Food Max and Tri-Counties Bank. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday is Wells Fargo Bank and Red Bluff Dodge Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music stars Morgan Wallen and Chris Lane.
I'm going up, down, up, back home, 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 girl.
And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Project Healing Waters is dedicated to the physical and emotional rehabilitation of disabled active military service personnel and disabled veterans. We accomplish this goal through fly fishing and associated activities, including education and outings. Our program sponsors about 40 disabled veterans.
Please help support this effort by coming to our fourth annual fundraiser and mixer on April the 14th at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street starting at 6 p.m. There will be live and silent auctions along with fun and games and plenty of appetizers. All this for just $20. All the funds generated by this fundraiser will go towards outings where we take veterans fishing. 100% of the funds generated stay local with no overhead, as this program is staffed entirely by volunteers.
Your support is needed and welcome. Please call Dean Barker at 941-8877 or John Boyden at 722-0798.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland with our guest Marty Rosenblatt. We are talking about remote viewing on the whole, but basically what do remote viewing, telepathy, and ETs have in common? So my question here is, ultimately, is there a difference in your mind between remote viewing and telepathy, or are they basically kind of two sides of the same coin?
Well, they're different phenomenon. Because remote viewing, you usually describe and sketch some physical target, or you might describe and sketch what's in somebody's mind. Now, if you're doing that, that's close to telepathy, but the remote viewer is more one way. You know, he's picking up the information. Telepathy, you know, between two minds, two usually different minds, is just that. So there's a sender and a receiver would be the image in telepathy.
I see.
But what they do both have in common is that the information is being fetched from something really, really deep and non-physical.
So my question is, why aren't these remote viewers going out getting the answers to questions that I want answered? Like... Are there ancient civilizations that we don't know about? Are there structures on Mars? You know, I mean, I want to know these things.
Okay, let me, you're going to like this, and it's a bit of a plug at the same time. Joe McMonagle, who is probably the best well-known remote viewer, that was remote viewer 001 in the government Stargate program. You probably heard about that.
Yeah, we were just talking about it before you came on, actually. Yeah.
Okay. He is going to be talking about my remote viewing of Mars, the moon, space, and what might be going on.
I love it.
He's doing this at a conference workshop that we're having in Las Vegas, June 3rd to 5th. And if anybody wants to go, to they can get started, and it's clear where to go to, for the conference. But our website is appliedprecog.com. We also have Dean Radin, who is going to be talking as well. He's going to be talking about what's called real, he calls it real magic, ancient wisdom, okay, connecting with your ancient, modern science, and a guide to the secret power of the universe. Scientists more and more all seem to be agreeing when they get into this and they see the data, and again, unfortunately, it's few scientists, really coming to the same conclusion using different words, that consciousness is fundamental.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like quantum mechanics reacting.
The answers to your questions, but notice you're not getting, how do you get feedback about what's going on in Mars and the moon?
Right, verification, sure. Or right.
Now, Joe actually viewed pyramids. Joe, I'm giving you a little heads up because I've heard him talk about some of this stuff already, viewed an ancient civilization in Mars. He was given that as a blind task, and he talked about creatures there. He talked about, and this was like a million years ago, really bad dust storms. It was like the feeling,
yeah,
like that civilization died was the feeling I think he got.
Sorry to interrupt you. I've actually heard a little bit about this story. Apparently it was an experiment of some sort. They gave him an envelope and said, hey, view the coordinates in the envelope. And it was like Mars some several million years ago. Is that right?
That, very, very close.
Yeah.
He first gave him a coordinate, and he identified that it was somewhere else and said enough things about Mars that they kept asking more and more questions. And so, you know, the people, and he feels he hit the target. But
yeah,
you don't have any verification, though some people say NASA has been hiding pictures of this stuff. But, you know, but he also did the moon. I'd like to know what he found on the moon. In fact, it turns out we had a webinar today where someone else using out-of-body experiences says they went to the moon and that they saw stuff there, too. But, you know, until the government is going to say this, we don't, you know, human beings like us don't know for sure. But I will say this, and see, this is, you're asking other people to answer these questions as if they can do something you can't do. My mission, if you will, is to teach as many people as possible that they, too, have this natural capability. It's something which can be learned, and with practice, 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 you can get better, better, better at it. You know, not everybody is going to get to the Carnegie Hall, maybe, of remote viewing, but they can get really close. And we do that all the time with people. We get people at the workshops who are disbelievers, and they will do wonderful sessions. And that's the way to realize that you personally have these capabilities as well. And it's only when we get people to that stage will we be on the other side of this paradigm shift.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, we're not too far from the end of the show here, so I want to make sure to give you a chance to tell our listeners where they can find out more about you. And
about more about how to remote view.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are interested in it.
Right. Do you teach via your website?
Yeah.
How would they learn to do that?
Yes. The website, again, appliedprecog.com. We have on there many free webinars that we've already given. All of this is free. And we also have groups that do sports prediction. Remember, it's called Applied Precog for precognition. That's really my focus now because it blows the normal world view. And we have groups out there that predict sport events, predict financial events, and we invite people to come, and we give more webinars. We give at least a couple a month. I think I'm going down now to one a month. But we have online, YouTube, all kinds of previous examples. And I invite people to come and join us. If you go to the website, very quickly you'll be able to see a place where you can send a message. It asks you if you want to join, and that's all you have to do. And you'll be on our email. It's a Google list, and so you'll get emails through the Google list. We have about 900 people now on that list. And I'd say we have over 100 people who are actually in these groups doing precognition. We're big on keeping statistics, what we call hit rates, plus with the feedback, you know whether you got a hit or a miss, based on whether, say, Team A goes wins or Team B wins or the market goes up or down, a bit more complicated than that. But you'll have an opportunity to do this yourself. And that's really what we're pushing. We want people to join this paradigm consciousness shift by learning about their own capabilities.
Before we hit the end of the show here, I actually had a question here written down that I didn't get a chance to ask you earlier.
Uh-huh.
Is remote viewing, seeing how it's looking at time, which is not necessarily linear, and while we don't have a huge understanding of time, you said that it's not always accurate. Is it, are tangents in time maybe a factor in its accuracy?
Well, what's not always accurate is predictions about the future, just like memory is not accurate all the time. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what I think is equivalent to the idea of an atom in consciousness space. This very moment. Each of us are having our very moment right now. You know that with more certainty than anybody else. You look around your room and what you're seeing, nobody can deny that that's your experience of it. You see, it's this conscious experience of this now moment that's very fundamental. And the fact that your listeners manage to get to the place where they're listening to this right now, that is from things that happened in their past, and I would maintain some influence from stuff that's going to happen from the future. In fact, precognition teaches that this idea of retrocausality, and there are now scientific meanings called that, retrocausality, that the future can in a retro fashion affect something that happened earlier. And that's what we get our people to do and to truly believe because they can see it themselves, but that gets related to health. You can use, I mean, the implications of this are so enormous.
It is.
No kidding.
And we could just go on forever. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the show here. I would love to have you on again because I could just go on forever. Right?
I'm happy to do that.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. You've been listening to Marty Rosenblatt here on Radio Waste.
Mark out the points, build the pyre, assemble different drummers, light up the fire, put on and animal skins, illumination, illumination, a listen to the drums. Between each beat of the drum, oh beloved mother of liberty, hold me in your arms.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Reading. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.